Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Easy to make a case nationally that the pundit class will say that Aaron Rodgers needs this season more than Mike Tomlin, needs to have a successful final act. He needs 2025 to end with a playoff victory and at least an appearance in the divisional round. That'll be the narrative, because I think outside of the Pat McAfee show, I think Aaron Rodgers is viewed in a more negative light. Some of the stuff he says about things that don't relate to football get replayed ad infinitum. I think at times he is viewed as a coach killer, as a guy who got Robert Saleh fired, as a guy who shot called with the Jets. The New York media certainly, I think, was adversarial with him at times. That's its own beast. So I think nationally there's going to be a lot of ink spilled and a lot of breath expended on the idea that this is a hugely important season for Aaron Rodgers and his legacy. Locally, though, I think it could not be a more different dynamic in play. I think locally, Mike Tomlin, it's not his last stand. It's not like, oh, if Mike Tomlin doesn't win this year, doesn't deliver the goods, Art Rooney II is going to wake up one day and go, why have I been continuing to reward this man with high compensation contract extensions, high-value extensions? But it would be a little bit of a three strikes and you're out for Mike Tomlin if this season ends no better than the last several have. Think about what he would have done post-Roethlisberger for a minute. He and Kevin Colbert would have combined in the draft after Roethlisberger's final act to overdraft Kenny Pickett to, and this is just a plain statement, no matter what you think Kenny Pickett was or was not capable of or was ever going to be capable of, they butchered the handling of him at least a little bit. They made it clear he was supposed to be the backup. Tomlin got very sick of Mitch Trubisky very quickly. Threw Pickett in there at halftime of a game. He came out with a little momentum, but in the long term, that was probably not best for Kenny Pickett. I'm not going to say put the clamps on Pickett, but I think sort of Tomlin's aura hung over the quarterback and the team of don't screw it up, don't screw it up, don't screw it up. My defense will take care of this. Just be a caretaker. He didn't hold up that end of the bargain. They completely jettisoned that after 2 years of experimenting with it and Pickett getting hurt and Rudolph being the guy who drags them into the playoffs only to be basically told we're not that interested. Completely redo the room with Fields and Wilson. He doesn't trust Fields. He doesn't ultimately in the end trust Wilson. They make the playoffs, but the song remains the same. They get their doors absolutely blown off in humiliating fashion. The Chiefs did it to send Roethlisberger into his retirement. You saw Rudolph be on the wrong end of a loss to the Bills that was quasi-competitive. And then the very hated Ravens humiliate you in their own building in a game that was never even remotely close, despite what the score may have said at brief points in time. That would be three strikes and you're out if you're Mike Tomlin, if you come in with Aaron Rodgers after trying the Kenny Pickett experiment, Fields and Wilson, and Rodgers, and end up with Bupkis to show for it. And I would imagine that at the very least, Art Rooney, despite what I think, which is that he is way too deferential to his head coach and always has been, I think he would at least have to arch an eyebrow and say, wow, I have allowed this guy to try to skin a cat three different ways, and three straight times it's failed, and three straight times, because I'm guessing it would look like this if it didn't work out this year, three straight times it's failed in more or less the same way. They either drafted a guy way before they should have and put way too much on him with not enough preparation. They took a talented young guy and a past-his-prime older guy, and he couldn't trust either one of them. And now he takes a four-time MVP and can't figure out how to make it work. I would think the owner would finally take notice. So I do think that if this goes belly up on Mike Tomlin this year, I do think that it would be maybe the first time where Art Rooney might not say, should I have given this guy an extension, but would at least look at him with a with something approaching a genuinely critical eye. I mean, it's very hard to go back and find in the archives times where Art Rooney has actually been openly critical of his head coach. It basically doesn't happen. If this season were to even just end in sort of uninspiring fashion, like 9-8, they don't make the playoffs, they get eliminated on the last weekend of the season, and they don't get the help they need, I would think you're going to hear the owner say something more critical of his head coach than he's probably ever said. Don, I'm wondering how you feel about this one, the Tomlin or Rodgers, who needs it more conversation.
It looks worse for Tomlin to me because he has just completely butchered the quarterback situation at every single step. You laid it out there pretty nicely with every quarterback that has come and gone since Roethlisberger retired. It's been a wreck. They have been unable to figure it out, not even long-term, but even short-term, it's been very ugly. The teams have finished 10-7 a couple of times and have snuck into the playoffs a couple of times, but I would say that it really had little to do with the quarterback play overall, minus the final three-game stretch of Mason Rudolph in 2023 when he basically said, screw it, and did whatever he wanted, because that's at least the way he played. It was a lot different look from a quarterback than what we had seen. But
which is also damning because Tomlin had no interest in him being the starter, even though he took pains to make sure, like, there's that Seattle game where the boom mics catch him saying, win it through the air, let's pass this thing and win it. He would show him little bits of real confidence in games, and then as soon as the season was over, he's like, yeah, not that ain't the guy.
And considering just how bad Mitch Trubisky looked in that season, if he makes that change to Mason Rudolph a game or two earlier, who knows? The Steelers could have finished 12-5. As ridiculous as that sounds, I mean, they finished at 10-7. But think about some of those losses. The Cardinals loss where Pickett got hurt early, but the Patriots loss was awful. They get blown out against the Colts. I mean, they probably snag an extra win if he actually makes that change more quickly, but he was so timid to go to Rudolph because, really, of what happened. I think he, in a way, didn't want to look like he was making the wrong decision all along, but then we saw that it was.
I also think that the thing that nationally, it's going to frustrate me if this goes poorly for the Steelers, that isn't going to get said enough. Very plain, and it definitely applies to Art Rooney's view of his own head coach. It is, I think, widely acknowledged at this point that one of the key things a head coach has to be able to do is, at bare minimum, either correctly identify the right quarterback for his team and make sure the right guy's playing, and if he's very involved in the drafting like Tomlin is, he better have a good eye for that position. Or if he inherits a guy like Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams, the expectation is you got this job because we think you can maximize this player. And it does not get said nearly enough on a national basis. I think locally we've kind of trodden this ground before. It does not get said nearly enough that in the modern NFL, the single most important thing a head coach can be is very good with his quarterback, whether it's either way I just described. Mike is good at neither one of these. He's proven he can't find the right guy, and we know he's not an offensive guy by trade. And I just think that is the major reason why, if it's, it would essentially be what? Pickett didn't work, Trubisky didn't work, Rudolph, they have never really allowed it to try and work, Fields didn't work, Wilson didn't work, it would be Rodgers. It would be six quarterbacks in a four-year span that didn't work out. That would be grounds for getting fired anywhere else. I think at best what you'd get here is grounds for him being on something of a warmer seat.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. We're on the fan hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Bob Pompiani, KDK TV, and of course the Pomp and Joe Show is on the line right now. How are you, Pomp?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you today? Nice hot day for golf, even though I'm not golfing.
Well, Starkey is. I heard Starkey saying something like he was trying to beg off the show 30 minutes early so he could make his tee time on time.
Yeah, I don't think he did that, but he could have. He asked. I said, fine. So hopefully he had no trouble getting out there, and hopefully the weather cooperates.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that he would turn into a golfer?
No, at the first, no, absolutely not. He hated it with a passion, and then I brought some clubs over in one day. I said, why don't you just give it a try? And he kind of did, and now he's completely gone the other way, although now he comes in halftime, says, I'm done, I'm quitting. And then he changes within 30 minutes.
2 days ago, somebody told me in the 100-degree heat he was out there just hammering golf balls at the range. I had a Malzi spy tell me that he was out there just constantly just beating balls at the range in weather that most people wouldn't even consider swinging a club. So he's completely got the sickness, Bob, and you know what that's all about.
Yeah, but I told him there's one thing you should do, and you probably would agree with this. He spent a lot of time with gadgets and gizmos. And I sometimes look on Instagram, and I see all these people with these, like, all these devices that they're strapped to try to make their swing better. I think Joe sometimes can go there. I said the best thing you do is don't think about that. Practice your swing when you practice. When you get out there, just will yourself. Believe in your swing. Trust your muscle memory, all that stuff. But I don't think he does that.
No, he does none of those things, as a matter of fact. Pomp, I'll hit you with the question that I just kind of pondered amongst my, you know, me and Donnie just kind of kicking it back and forth just now. Who do you think needs a good season? So I'll call a good season a playoff victory, since we haven't seen one in this town in a very long time for the Steelers. Who needs a season that ends in a playoff win more, Mike Tomlin or Aaron Rodgers?
And probably both. That's why they're both here right now, trying to get over that hump.
No fence sitting, Bob. No fence sitting.
Well, if I had to take it, it would obviously be Coach Tomlin. I just think he gotten to the point now where this has gone too long, especially for the Steelers and their expectations. They got to get in there and not only get in there and win. And, you know, despite all these quarterback changes and whatever, they somehow fought their way into playoffs. But now they got to win one in advance. And I think it's time for that, yes.
Do you think that if this goes just poorly, and I guess by poorly I would say they go 9-8 or 8-9, they don't even make the playoffs. I don't even want to say there's huge interpersonal drama, but it just doesn't work out with Rodgers the way everyone there, or at least Tomlin, anticipates. How do you think Art Rooney II is going to react to that? I think that would be a total of, if you count everybody starting with Trubisky, 6 quarterbacks they would have utilized in the last 4 years, and none of them ultimately working out. Like, what would Art Rooney II's reaction to that be, in your opinion?
I think, number one, disappointed, but I think he's, like a lot of the people in the organization, are kind of looking ahead to next year, knowing this is a one-year opportunity for Rodgers, and that's all it should be. And maybe that 1 year turns into something really good for them. They don't sacrifice seasons. I know a lot of people want them to do that at times, but they don't. They want to try and do their best. Now, next year will be doubly interesting because of the draft, and it's going to be amazing how many people will be in town and all the drama, and the Steelers could be the number one topic. As they have been most of this season, off season, with Rodgers and the search for him. So anytime you're dealing with quarterbacks, you know this, Chris. I mean, it's high intensity. People want to talk about it all the time, and they're going to be right in the bullseye. They're looking for potentially their next quarterback, even though they have, you know, Will Howard. We'll see how he advances through this season, probably not being able to play, but hopefully learning a lot. But they're still going to draft a quarterback, and how they manipulate themselves, even if there's, you know, they're 20th, 19th, something of that nature, they can move up. They have a lot of ammunition to do it. So I think Art will be patient, knowing that this next year will be the key year.
Do you think, on that end, do you think the failures that they've had with quarterbacks so far have shaken Art's faith in Mike's ability to identify the right player at that position at all?
Well, based on, you know, contract extension, I'd say no to that. I still think he believes what Mike Tomlin does. And somehow, some way, he'll make them a competitive team year in and year out. And I think, ultimately, all teams would like to do that. The problem here is that once you get to that level, you have to do more. And it hasn't happened in a long time, so the next level is very important. But I think he's willing to see what happens. And next year will be the key year, I think, on deciding all of this. And whatever pick they make, whatever move they make to identify someone who could be their next franchise quarterback, because, you know, no matter how little you spend on your quarterback, and they have not spent a whole bunch of money the last several years, ultimately you're better off with a franchise quarterback that you don't mind spending a lot of money on, because you never have to worry about that position again.
Bob, I'll switch gears here, talking, of course, to Bob Pompeiani. You know that voice well, KDKA-TV, the legend himself.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll continue to give you the high-level reset and intro there. When it comes to Bob Nutting, how would you evaluate specifically the way he's gone about handling changes to his front office or a lack thereof, in terms of how he's handled Ben Cherington, going back to last offseason, Derek Shelton, all of that stuff?
Well, I think I get the feeling at times that he's apprehensive to make moves and only will do so if it comes down to where he has no other choice. In this case, by moving on from Derek Shelton, I thought there was another choice to be made. I mean, for me, it's always going to be hand-in-hand, GM and coach, and I think, or manager. And I think even in the case of next year, if they decide that Ben Cherington may not be that guy, and I have a feeling I already figured out that he will be, but if he doesn't, then, you know, that leaves open a manager situation, because the new GM is going to want who he wants. It may be Donnie Kelly, may not be. But I think he would have been better off just making a sweeping change all throughout this, because it is 6 years into this whole process. And they really haven't solved a lot of their problems when it comes to offense at all. They can't do it. They have pitching. That's great, but you need more than pitching. You got to figure out ways to get just look at yesterday's Skeens. Even though he didn't have his best stuff, he gets no offensive support while he was out there. And that's been the case largely with him and Keller and even Falter at times. So they haven't identified the people they need. And at some point, you got to make changes that way. And if they allow Ben Cherington to do this trade deadline, which they will, of course, it looks like, and that doesn't go well, then I wonder about this offseason. But he seems apprehensive to me.
I would agree with that, and I think his inaction has been his greatest sin as an owner, just not decisive whatsoever about how he wants to chart the course of this franchise. Do you think it'll ever fully click for O'Neill Cruz with the Pittsburgh Pirates, yes or no, and why or why not?
I hope yes. I don't know the answer. We brought this up today when Joe and I are kicking around this topic about how about buying low on him. Would he be willing to accept a 7-year, $100 million contract? You know, there was a time I would have said automatically yes on that. Now I would say no. I would wait. I need to see more things. I haven't seen enough of him to make me think that he could be that guy. He has all the raw tools, all the raw potential, but we've seen that before. And we've also seen when you give people contracts that don't work out, they get stuck with a Ke'Bryan Hayes kind of deal, with Tabata. And, you know, you make an educated guess that this guy can be the guy and should be the guy. He has all the talent to do it. But have you seen enough evidence to make you think that he will? I hope he changes. I hope that we see a lot more out of him in the next second half of the season. Now that we're at the halfway season. Are we at that? Yeah, we are at the halfway season, right?
Yeah, at a robust exactly. 32-50. Yeah, we're one game past the halfway point, and they're on pace for 99 losses. Just wonderful cause for Ben Cherington to keep his job.
What would you do with him?
I don't know. I would have benched him yesterday. I know that much.
Nah,
I would have
too.
Sat him down. I would have sat him down because I do think beyond just not even trying to run after the ground ball that went right under his glove is a bad look. I know he tried to hustle up to one yesterday when he missed that sinking liner, and so it got through to him. I didn't think Cruz sounded like a malcontent after the game where he actually was pulled and benched for the last couple innings. I think he sounds like a guy who's way too dejected when things don't go his way at the plate, and I think it seeps into the rest of his game. So I think, Bob, there's a considerable difference between a guy who's just lollygagging out there and a guy who lets failure weigh him down way too much and affect his focus and everything else. I would actually put Cruz in that second basket, whether I'm right or not. And so I would have given him two straight days off and tried to talk to him and tried to reset him at the plate, because I think if he's hitting well, you get everything else that you want out of him, the effort, the focus, all that other stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I thought the same thing you did after that. Yeah, I want him to be the answer out there. They need him to be the answer. They need somebody like that to be the answer. The other thing I think is that he overswings, and he's so, you know, we get caught up in this whole velocity game that everybody plays about, oh, man, exit velocity, look at this. It's all well and good, but he has enough bat speed where if he just tries to hit the ball without trying to hit a home run, I think you'll hit more home runs, and you'll also make more contact, and you'll do other things that can help the team. So He's got some work ahead of him, but I hope he's the answer out there, because if not, they're going to have another area where they're going to have to address.
Last one for you, Bob. I'm sure that you're not used to doing this, which is actually studying potential first-round picks in the NHL draft, because the Penguins never actually have their first-round pick. Now they have two back-to-back at 11 and 12. What do you want to see them do in terms of the type of player they're trying to find, defenseman, forward, whatever, with those two picks?
Yeah, well, that's good. You're right. I mean, I don't know enough about these guys. We're talking to Tyler Kennedy. He's in the same boat. I think a lot of people just, you know, they know, they should know. In 11 and 12, there are some thoughts that people should maybe trade those, move on to try to move up higher. I don't think there are generational players in this draft, at least not the type that we're expecting to use with that name, generational player. So I would think they take those two picks, and I think they just try to find people who are good at playing 200-foot of hockey. I don't know that you can peg one of them and say, okay, this guy's going to be a 30-goal scorer. Here's the comp. We look at him like we look at Mitch Marner, for example. Yeah, whatever. All I want to see are good hockey players who play. The Florida Panthers have a lot of those kind of players. You don't identify them necessarily, the Sam Bennett's, the Matthew Tkachuk's, the Carter Verhaeghe, the guys who are going to
– yeah.
Yeah. They're not like guys you roll off your tongue when you hear about scorers, but they do everything right, and as a result, the scoring comes. So I want to see complete hockey players, young guys they can develop, and hopefully quickly, because they're going to need them.
Bob, we'll talk again soon. There are rumblings that I might end up being a participant in the makeup date for your big golf outing this coming Monday.
Well, that would be great. You'll have a good time for sure. We have a lot of things on that golf course which will keep you involved, even if we have a little backup because we have a lot of golfers. But believe me, we have vendors and stations and a lot of different things available, Chris. I think you'll have a good time. All for Partners for Quality.
All for a great cause on a great golf course, Chartiers Country Club. Thank you,
yes,
Bob.
Yes, sir. All right. See you, Chris.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, packed and getting more packed like sardines here. Chris Muller, PM team. First two finalists have been selected, and now it is time to see who is next up on the fan. Come on out to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. to audition. See if you're the next host that we hire on the fan. You're going to get 2 minutes to give your best, your most entertaining take. We will pick two winners to go on to our final audition, so do not miss your chance tonight, 7 to 9, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. More info, dates, locations can be found at 93.7thefan.com. Now, I've been told, Donnie, I did not realize this. I thought I was the only host going out there tonight with our boss, Craig. Apparently, Starkey's out there with me, and that's part of the reason why he vacated the premises immediately today to go get out to Totteridge. So it's going to be me and Joe judging people. And you know what that's going to turn into, right? It's going to turn into Joe ripping me whenever I give critiques of people. It's going to be, Malzy, you don't know what you're talking about. And then he's going to say, I wish you would talk about corn follicles more. It's going to be that. So the people who are going out to the Iron Rock Tab House to try out tonight are going to be in for quite the trip, I would think. Nothing from you, Donnie, on that one. I'm stunned.
I was trying to think of a few things in my head there to come
back.
That's
all right. I know. That's all right, though, because I know what you're actually thinking about is what we're about to do right now. And we are going to go beyond the city limits right now. Let's just set this up. So Pomp and Joe were doing their usual thing today, doing a classic episode of the Pomp and Joe show. It's a summertime show. Joe loves to take little detours off the road, you know, oft-traveled. He loves to go off in random directions. And you know that those guys, of course, love to bring Bechtold into the proceedings. Joe is very fond of having a conversation with Austin, and so is Pomp. We know that Austin can get a little chippy, though, at times, Donnie. And so it was today that out of nowhere, having one of their many random kind of discussions on the Joe and the Pomp and Joe show, or the, what would Joe call it, Joe and Pomp or Part-Time Pomp or something like that. So it was that on Pomp and Joe today, what seemed like a normal, friendly sports discussion suddenly took a hard turn. Let's hear it.
He is the home run leader. I still acknowledge that.
So do I. Do you limit?
No, Hank Aaron is.
Oh, wow.
Now I do not acknowledge Bonds.
Now we've taken
the home
a turn,
leader.
Bob.
Why would you say that?
Because Bonds was clearly on PEDs, and as far as everybody knows or everyone's concerned, Hank Aaron was not. And I consider Hank Aaron the true home run champion with his number.
So why then didn't the league say, hey, we know you're on PEDs and we're going to suspend you like they do now? There are 80-game suspensions if they find these stuff out.
Because there was obviously enough suspicion, but not enough to be able to. It's like,
well, then why do you know who else was on it?
It's like when you're trying to convict somebody in like a murder case. We had a ton of evidence against you, but it was not enough to sway the jury to be able to convict.
You're letting a lack of evidence then affect you. You're deciding, you've made the conclusion that he's guilty even though he wasn't during that time.
I personally think there's enough evidence to be able to say that with everything that came out with all the cases. And
are you sure who was on it
and off
it at that time? All the people who were on and off?
No, you can't be 100% sure.
Okay,
but
exactly.
I'm pretty confident as Bonds ballooned and lost all his hair and immediately, you know, his head blew up like a pumpkin too and his body completely changed. And at 37, 38, he was mashing, what, 40, 45 homers?
Yes, it seemed fairly obvious, but you're discounting the idea that a bunch of the pitchers he was hitting them off were on stuff too, and so are a lot of the other players, and we don't know who was and wasn't at the time. We know a bunch of people were using.
I didn't know Ron Cook was working that show again.
If Ron heard that clip, he'd probably get Austin. Well, no, he wouldn't care enough to do this. But if he did care enough, he'd get Austin's number and be like, I'm glad you were standing up for what's right, Austin. Thank you. What's your favorite part of that? Mine is the instant reaction from Starkey when Austin gave his record scratch take that, no, I do not acknowledge that. Hank Aaron is the true home run champion. You could just see, you could just hear in Starkey's voice, it was like a shark with blood in the water there. He was very excited that Austin took it that way.
I think my favorite was Austin explaining how Bonds' body changed, including, look, he lost all of his hair.
Yeah, he's bald. You know, Donnie,
Ballsy, you must be on the roids.
I've been on the gas. I've been on the gear for a long time, Donnie. It's finally time for me to come clean. I've just been using steroids my whole life, and that's why I'm bald. Who else is – I was going to say, every bald guy out there must just be on roids. I don't know. I'll actually – I always try to give Austin credit. I'll say this about Bechtold. If you were to put Austin on like the 6 to 10 show permanently on this station and you were just turned him loose and said, just do it however you see fit to do the show, like you're going to have your own solo show on this station. Congratulations, Austin. You just got a big promotion. I would actually want to listen to him, but I think just by being himself, he would turn into one of the biggest heels in the history of 93.7 The Fan. I think just giving his regular opinions, he would make people big, big, big mad because he's very convicted about what he says. There's a certain level of defiance in his voice there. He's indignant. Like, it's just, he's like a natural born radio heel, and I think I'm actually saying that about him as a compliment. Like, he's just ready to wade in there with Bob and Joe, who have a combined how many years of experience in this market? It's got to be close to 75 years of combined media experience here. Pomp's literally
like
got 40 plus. Pomp's got, I think, like between 40 and 43 years. Joe has been doing something in sports in Pittsburgh, I think, for about 30. So you have almost three quarters of a century of combined experience. Two of the absolute sages of this business. And smart guys, both of them. I think, obviously, Pomp, his resume speaks for itself. We love to give Joe a hard time. I think he's a hell of a writer and a hell of a mind with this. And Austin is just ready to go in there. If you've ever seen the video of Peter McNeely fighting Tyson in Tyson's return bout, Austin just comes charging out of the corner at both of these guys, swinging like a madman.
Somebody else who's bald also chimed in. I mean, obviously you take one look at Craig and the first thing I think of is steroid use.
Yeah, I mean, well, like in reverse, right? Like he took like anti-roids. He's like, give me something that's going to make me as skinny as humanly possible.
His review, he left a zero-star review and said they didn't work.
If Craig and Austin had a bench press contest, would it be like a first one to get the bar up and locked out wins? Those two guys?
I don't want to come off like I'm making fun of these guys directly, but I sadly think that would probably be the case. Although I don't think they are the only two in this building that would have trouble with the single Olympic bar. I'll just say that.
Here's proof positive that I'm right in my analysis that limits would have people very fired up. Like, he gets a reaction. The YouTube commenters have exploded at the mere sound of that limits clip. Sports Vids, our buddy there, lost all his hair. You can tell Limits is a kid because the idea of somebody balding is so foreign to him. We have also got somebody trying to bring back the anti-callus takes. I'd listen to Dahmer Austin every time over callus. Wow, we've got fights breaking out right now. Robin North for Sales, Austin has that wiffle ball confidence about him. I love it. I'll tell you this, Donnie, just really quick here. I think Austin's major flaw in his argument is as follows. He just totally discounts the fact that Bonds was already a great player and that, yes, it's pretty obvious he used, but most of the guys he was going against should have that same cloud of suspicion, but because they aren't great players, nobody thought twice about whether like some bum like Jason Grimsley was taking them. I think most people know of several Pirates players who were pretty credibly connected to having some PED usage. Never necessarily nabbed for it, but pretty credibly connected. I think David Ortiz, lovable David Ortiz, was pretty credibly connected to maybe having done it. He wasn't named in one, but haven't the rumors swirled around him for a while? Haven't pretty credible rumors swirled around a lot of other guys who have made it to the Hall of Fame?
Piazza.
Whose main differentiating characteristic from Bonds is that they weren't as surly as Bonds. I've long maintained that people just got mad that Barry took down every big record because he became, instead of hitting some of those balls for doubles, they went over the fence. Long maintained that people don't like Barry Bonds because Barry Bonds can be very surly and off-putting to people. That's it.
Yeah, I always thought that was way more of the reason. And, like, people always just clouded it by saying, well, he took roids, he cheated the game. I mean, it is true that a pretty good chunk of players from the era that he played in were on something. It was just the fact that Bonds was that damn good already. And, yeah, it enhanced his game a little bit. But it also, I mean, it doesn't help, like, hand-eye coordination. The guy had otherworldly hand-eye coordination. He's the best hitter that I ever got to see. I haven't been around forever, but without question, he's the best hitter in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think that it should be obvious that what he was doing, if you take the entertainment factor that's supposed to matter in sports, what he was doing from 01 to 04 is just otherworldly. Like, it was must-see TV. And you know what my real problem with, like, to bring in some of the older sports writers who have been doing the gatekeeping with Bonds in the Hall of Fame? Those same guys gushed and fawned as a broad collective over the home run chase in 98. When McGuire all of a sudden like got even bulkier, when Sosa got bulky, when Sosa's hitting broken bat home runs at Wrigley Field, gushed and gushed and gushed and gushed. And then suddenly, when the PED stuff happened a couple of years later in force, like the Balco stuff, these guys whiplashed like they almost felt guilty that they didn't do enough digging and they just got caught up and swept up in the home run chase in 98 and decided they were going to be the stewards of the game again. They also don't have any energy for Bud Selig when they do this big song and dance, who got in, by the way. Bud Selig, who oversaw baseball during this period, is somehow seen as a guy beyond reproach, but let's go after Barry Bonds. I think it's just a lot of hypocritical BS from people who should know better, and I think, unfortunately, young Austin is falling victim to that.
Something else, somebody on the text line pointed this out, so I did pull it up, because Austin also, one of his arguments was, well, you know, look at his home run numbers. They just ballooned in his mid to late 30s when they shouldn't. You ever look at Hank Aaron's home run numbers, Malzy, later in his career?
I did not. They went up, though, I bet.
Age 35, 44 home runs. Age 37, 47 home runs. Age 38, 40 home runs. Age 39, 40 home runs.
Do you know what people were using rampantly when Aaron was aging out of what would normally be big-time baseball years? You want to know what they were using? Greenies, amphetamines. Do you think that might or might not help a player on the long grind of a 162-game season? I think it probably would do some good for them, don't you? If you were taking uppers whenever you had a rough run here and you're in the middle of a 20-game trip or something like that. But again, people don't even bring that up. I wonder if Austin would have considered Babe Ruth the home run king if Hank Aaron had never broken his record, seeing as Babe Ruth played in a segregated MLB. Would that have nullified it?
I think you make a strong argument for that, too. I mean, he never had to play against a minority player.
What I'm trying to do here is sharpen the knife for Austin so that the next time he gets into these arguments, he's got even more ammunition and he's figuring out how to counterpunch. But thank you. That was a nice trip beyond the city limits, Don.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.